Podtackler, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 638, Halo Shrubbery, recorded live on July 12th, 2018. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Podtackler, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I am your host, Duststorm.
And I am your co-host, Godzilla T.
And I am back from my honeymoon. Back behind the microphone.
And it sounds like you've been sleeping too close to the crack.
I got sick during the honeymoon, unfortunately. Yeah. Don't know if it was the international flight over, or if it was something that I ate, or what. But it was halfway through, throat started swelling up, feeling sore, and over the last couple of days of the trip, it wasn't good. There were two nights where I basically didn't sleep.
That's not good.
No. Thankfully, someone on board had medicine, so they were kind enough to give me some, since they also had similar symptoms I had, except they had it a lot earlier in the trip and they had some leftovers. So thankfully they were nice enough to give me some. So that helped for like the last 2 days of the trip. So that was convenient.
Sounds like you're doing better than you were, so.
Yes, I am doing a lot better than I was. I've been sleeping, which is good. But there's still a little bit of the drainage happening, so I've still got a little bit of stuffy sinuses, probably for the next couple of days, but that has been a lot better than it was before, for sure. So we got lots of stuff to cover tonight because of us being off for 2 weeks. We've been messing around with the live stream stuff, so we might cut some stuff for next week. But as we always do, let's do a quick recap on things that happened over the past couple weeks with play dates. So, GT, how did we do for the last two Fraggin' Fridays?
Oh, lots of fun. Last week,
you play Warzone Turbo without me? I was so upset.
No, actually, nobody wanted to play Warzone Turbo.
Really?
We played a lot of regular Warzone.
Okay.
We had some good matches. We actually had a full team there for a couple of matches. We did play Space Invaders.
Cool.
That was interesting.
How was that?
It's different. It looks like the original game, but of course it doesn't play like the original game. Sure. If you do play it, pick the white ones.
Pick the white ones. Okay.
Yeah, and if you pick the red ones, you know why I say pick the white ones. Because the red ones, you can't see nothing.
Okay.
Makes it really hard to dodge. But it's a neat little game mode. You basically, as the attacker, you get into a wasp that they fused the enemy ship to, and there's an invisible barrier that keeps you from moving forward, but you can move left to right. And after so many seconds, that barrier disappears, lets you move forward to the next barrier. Again, you can move back and forth. And you know, you can shoot at the player and to knock off their aim or anything like that, but you can't. I don't think you can kill them. But I think there's three steps. You know, you have three invisible walls you have to go through before you actually get to the player.
Sure.
But basically, it's set up just like the Duck Hunt game. Matter of fact, it looks like a lot of the assets were reused, which is, don't get me wrong, it's cool. There's not as much to do inside the room after you die. Unlike on the Duck Hunt game where you had the little soccer field and you could play with the swords and all that stuff. But it still, you can go in there and annoy the guy trying to shoot your teammate. So
the fact that you say it has the Duck Hunt feel, I mean, it makes sense because the same guy that made Duck Hunt made this.
Yeah.
So it doesn't surprise me that he would possibly reuse some of the assets that he had before.
I mean, it still fit. Don't get me wrong. It still fit. You know, like I said, the only real difference, other than, you know, the gameplay, is, in that the house where you respawn after you die, there's not as many things to mess around with, which, you know, most of the time nobody does. Everybody goes in the room and watches the rest, you know, watches the game and screws with the shooter. Yeah, shooting their plasma pistol at them and overcharging it and ground pounding and, you know, all that stuff.
Very nice. Cool. Destiny Halo is also in the chat tonight. One of the only people, if not the only person in, and he said the rounds were short.
The rounds were pretty short, but, you know, when you only have four people playing, it doesn't take long.
Okay.
We tried that out pretty early in the night. I wasn't really sure how many people it supported. So we tried it first thing, and yeah, like I said, it was fun. Not as much fun as Duck Hunt, but it was fun.
Okay. Fair enough. So more Warzone and then custom games. It's pretty nice to hear that we're actually getting a lot of people to hop into customs.
Yeah. I mean, pretty much everybody, you know, they really want to grind on those commendations for, or not commendations, whatever you call them, to get the Achilles.
Right.
We wound up playing a lot of Warzone, trying to get Marine kills and stuff like that.
Okay.
We actually did manage one game where we had all three capped, and we were hiding in the back of the other team's garage, killing Marines.
As you do.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice.
Then somebody came in there and killed the core, so that was before we had a full team of 12, so.
Okay. Very nice. So, obviously, I don't have any updates because I was on my honeymoon, and I didn't get a chance to live stream over the past couple of weeks. But what I did manage to do was finally get the last episode of Achieving Halo posted on the YouTube channel. So Halo 5 is now completely up there as far as Achieving Halo goes.
Yay! Now the fun part, Halo 2.
Yep. You're about ready to start your new adventure, aren't you?
I already did.
Oh, how's it going?
Well, I made a boo-boo.
Uh-oh.
Apparently, whenever you have the zero multiplier skulls on, it doesn't give you the completion achievement for a level.
Oh. But you can get that on another mission, though, right?
The deal is if you play with zero multiplier skulls on, you don't get the achievements for completing the levels.
Oh, which affects the end on actually completing the full campaign.
Right. Getting the achievement for completing the full campaign or completing the individual levels. So looks like I'm going to have to do this one the hard way. And it really sucks because I hate Cargo Station on Legendary.
It is the steepest ramp to entry of any first-person shooter, I think, out there.
Not that the first time I played through it was easy, because I was going for an achievement, which is, I can't think of the name of it. Meg. And in order to unlock this achievement, you have to make it through the entire level without taking damage to your shields on Legendary.
That's where you just get a co-op buddy to do it for you, right?
Or can That's you do one way to do that? It. But the other thing is, you have to have the Thunderstorm skull on.
Oh.
So a grunt looks at you cross-eyed, your shields go down.
Yeah, I can see that being really stressful and painful.
In other words, there's a lot of reverting to last checkpoint.
I bet.
The run I actually recorded, I did pretty good. I only had to revert about 20 times, which, compared to the earlier runs, that's really good. And most of it was related to my playing, because I was using the Scarab Skull, and that definitely enhances the trouble. It makes getting through the level easier, but it really makes it harder to not take damage on your shields.
Right.
You have to be really careful about where you point it.
Yeah, I bet that can get really tricky really quick, and especially in close quarters with it being Cairo Station.
Yeah.
Wow.
To answer Destiny's question, he's asking what the Scarab Skull is. The Scarab Skull in Halo 2 on the MCC gives you the Scarab Gun no matter which weapon you pick up.
So every projectile is a Scarab?
Yeah, it's a Scarab shot. Whether it's a battle rifle, SMG, plasma pistol, a plasma rifle, snipers, anything. The only thing it doesn't change is, of course, the sword. Because it doesn't have a projectile. And it is very OP. It's a lot of fun to play. Especially on Legendary Halo 2. But unfortunately, that also makes it to where I don't get completion achievements for the levels. In the first level, there are two achievements that I get by doing it that way. But then I lose out on all of the level completion achievements, plus the completing the campaign achievements, you know, for normal, normal, heroic, and legendary. So by doing it that way, I lose out on achieving a lot of completing a lot of achievements. But also, there are some other achievements in there. I've got to look and see if it kind of offsets. You know, I've got to really go through and study the achievements and see if it offsets the completion achievements or not.
Okay.
Because if I can get the same amount of achievements with the zero multiplier skulls on, then okay, because you would still have to go back through the levels and complete these achievements. But you wouldn't have to play clear through the level. You could go to the point and, you know, get your achievement, then quit and go to the next one. I've got to do some math. I think I probably will go back and refilm it and do it without the zero multiplier skulls on. There's still some skulls on that can be really beneficial, like Sputnik, which makes crates and things really lightweight. Yeah. And if you place your grenades correctly, you can splatter elites with crates, which is fun.
Yeah, that can be a lot of fun. The original cone.
Yeah.
Cool.
I never understood that in Halo 3. How could a cone kill you?
When it's moving fast enough, when anything's moving fast enough, doesn't matter.
You're a Spartan.
Hey, if that thing is flying at the speed of light, doesn't matter. That's still a lot of energy.
You can take a sniper around to the chest and a cone hits you and you go, I'm sorry, but it's funny. Don't get me wrong, but the physics just don't add up.
It has more mass. I don't know. I'm just being funny, but you make a great point.
So in order to do this, at least to refilm the first mission, I'm going to have to create a new account and re-record the first mission.
Don't you already have three? So you already went all through three of your accounts? Oh.
Testing other achievements.
You have accounts just to test achievements with?
Well, I mean, usually I use them to verify that my tactics work for getting the achievement to pop. That way I know when I'm recording the achievement will pop. The one thing I didn't notice was the level completion achievement. You know, I got all the rest of my achievements, but I missed the level completion achievement at the end.
Got it. Okie dokie. That's unfortunate, but thanks for putting in the extra effort. I'm sure everyone will be happy to have a good guide out there.
Feel for my pain.
Oh, I'm sure we'll feel it whenever. Are you going to do any co-op for the Halo 2 stuff?
There are some co-op achievements.
Okay.
Like I said, I haven't really figured out how they're going to work out in the playthrough. Because, you know, they kind of got to make sense. The one thing I've got to double check. I don't know if there's an achievement for completing Halo 2 solo on Legendary, so.
I think the only one is Halo 4 solo on Legendary. I don't think there is one for Halo 2.
Yeah, I'm thinking that's the only one that's solo on Legendary, but I don't remember. I don't have the achievement list in front of me right now, so.
I've never seen one, and
I don't think there's one for Halo 2, but because, you know, there's a...
Well, because I've gotten all the Halo 2 achievements, and I know there's still some campaign missions I haven't done legendary on solo for Halo 2, so I'm almost positive there.
Well, I know there is one for completing it on legendary.
Right, but it doesn't have to be
maybe not solo. Legendary solo.
Right.
Like you said, I'm still working out the strategy. It takes a little bit to plan a run like that through the game. So, and of course, I haven't had much time lately. So,
sure. Cool. Well, when can we start expecting, I guess, the first episode for Halo 2? I'm guessing you still have to do the recording piece. So another couple weeks.
Probably. I won't be able to record this weekend. I might be able to record next weekend. And if everything lays out correctly, it shouldn't be too bad to edit.
Okay.
Saying, you know, if I have to go through and play it on legendary, I won't be going for that Meg achievement.
Okay.
There's just no way. Well, I'm not good enough to make it through Cario Station without taking any shield damage on legendary without some help.
Right. Okay. Fair enough. Could you do
never
that?
Know. I might fire up my other Xbox and have my character hang around in the back, but that won't be a very interesting video to watch.
Yeah. You could try to just have someone co-op, and then you can like move around and, I guess, kind of sneak a look at someone being killed over and over again in legendary. And then you can just be the spawn point.
As practical as that would be, that would probably make for a pretty boring video.
Probably. So, okay. Very nice. So we got a lot of news to cover. We're going to try to cover this as quickly as we can tonight, since we've been off for 2 weeks. First being the MCC development update number 5. This past week was the start of flight number 3. Started July 2nd. Right now is only flight members from the first and second flight for this first phase of flight 3. They're breaking everything into phases now. Based on the development update, I think they're pretty much done with the flights. This is the last flight it looks like they have planned, and then it's going to move into the retail updates for MCC. This one highlighted specifically the intelligent delivery. This is where you can custom choose which pieces of Halo to download. And for the current iteration of the build, there is Halo Combat Evolved with campaign and multiplayer, Halo 2 with campaign and multiplayer, Halo 3 with campaign and multiplayer, and Halo 4 with campaign and multiplayer. It's important to note that the multiplayer for Halo 2 includes both Anniversary and Halo 2 Classic. That's not separable in the intelligent delivery. And then Halo 4, the multiplayer includes the Spartan Ops and Forge, along with the multiplayer maps. There hasn't been a date set on when Flight 3 is going to be opened up to all MCC insiders, but it is something that they're looking to get done here soon. I have a feeling probably the week or two after HCS New Orleans is probably when we'll see Focus reignited under the MCC Insider Program, and GT will finally be able to get a little bit of taste of what's been going on.
Yeah.
You excited?
I'm not special. I'm really looking forward to seeing how it plays with the updates.
Very nice.
Jumping into matchmaking and seeing how the matchmaking works and things like that. I hope that seeing that it is a full game release that, or at least this part of the flight, that they have turned on the skill-based matchmaking, but I doubt it.
You will be happy to know that they have. And it is very similar to what they did in Halo 3. There is the 0 to 50 matchmaking behind the scenes. And Dursky actually has a little bit of an update blurb down in the matchmaking updates section, where the deltas are done on either side. So say you're level 15, for example, it'll search the top and bottom by 3 levels, and then it'll expand to 10. So it's not as, I guess, narrow, because I think for Halo 3, it started out with a delta of 1, then a delta of 2, then a delta of 3, then a delta of 5, then a delta of 10. But it's a very similar method that Halo 3 used. So you'll if you're level 15, you'll never have a match where you'll have higher than a 25 or less than a 5. And that is in this build.
Oh, good.
Because it's a low population count, stuff's still going to be all over the place. So finding matches outside of the playtimes is going to be very difficult. But there's also custom games that you can play in here as well. So almost the entire experience, with a handful of exceptions, one being ODST, that's not available in the build right now. Even though it's you can download it, it's not playable. That's one of the things that's not accessible. But Theater's there, Forge's there, custom games work on a LAN environment. You can filter out the network to be LAN only when it displays like a friends list. So instead of searching Xbox Live, you can do that. I hope they move that section out of settings, because that's a little bit tucked away, I think, where it doesn't need to be. They have also added the language settings in here as well. So there are about 13 or 14 audio and text languages to pick from. And you can go into settings and choose the languages from the audio section. And they have a lot of the common languages: English, French, German, Spanish, Italian, Japanese, Korean, Polish, Russian, Chinese, simplified Chinese for text. A lot of the common stuff they have for the audio and the text. So that is available now for you to try out. Hopefully there's a lot of MCC insiders that are part of the various regions, and they can verify.
I might just put it on Chinese just so I can hear what Master Chief sounds like.
So Monopoly, whenever he does his speedruns on Halo 2, he uses either the Chinese or the Japanese voice, because the audio lengths for those are actually shorter than their English counterparts. So for speedruns, it makes it go quicker, because there's some stuff that is reliant on dialogue. So a little interesting little tidbit for you. A couple other matchmaking updates that they have pertaining to MCC Insider build. Players are going to remain anonymous throughout the matching process. This is to discourage dodging or people seeing people on the other team and then quitting out. And then in the post-game lobby, it will retain and display the team assignments afterwards. So how it should normally operate. Loading in the matchmaking, they're looking at some server status that can be present there, such as ping times and other things that they haven't specified. For the in-game scoreboard, they're adding the highlight state for the current player and all the game scoreboards across all the games. They're also looking to make sure that the scoreboard stays up for approximately 3 to 5 seconds and the audio fades out. So very similar to how Halo 2 and Halo 3 had their scoreboards at the end of a match. Exit appearance, they're looking to polish that up, and then the post-game carnage report, they're looking at adding some refinements to there, including highlighting the active player as it normally has operated in the past. The community was frustrated, and the community has spoken about the MCC playlists that are going to be present after the update rolls out. So a lot of the insiders had a chance to vote on the playlist that would be present in the retail update. And a lot of people weren't too happy with the outcomes. So Postums and Jesse and the folks at 343 decided to put a survey out there independent of the MCC insiders and pull together a new list of playlists. And it's broken out into 3 different sections. Core playlists, which will be they're permanently social playlists, and that will be playlists that will kind of have a regular appearance, but not necessarily there all the time. And then rotational playlists. For the core playlist, we have Halo 1 Team Doubles, Halo 2 Classic Team Arena, Halo 2 Classic Team Hardcore, Halo 2 Anniversary Team Arena, Halo 3 Team Arena, Halo 3 Hardcore, and Halo 3 Team Doubles. On the social playlist, we have Quick Play Slayer, which will be Slayer across all four titles. Actually, I think I misspoke. The social playlist should be in there full-time as well. Crossplay BTBs, so that'll be BTP across Halo 1, Halo 2 Classic, Halo 2 Anniversary, and Halo 4. Halo 3 Big Team Battle. Don't know why that's separated out. That's weird. Okay. Halo 1 Team Arena, Action Sack and Infection, and then Free For All, which will start with Halo 3 and will rotate through the different games. For Action Sack and Infection, those will regularly rotate between the two and will be updated to include new maps, rotate between the games, and so on. For the rotational playlists, they're going to be looking to rotate in. Of course, they have certain restrictions on how many playlists they can have at one time. So the current list that they have for rotational playlists is Team SWAT, Team Snipers, Team Doubles, Team Objective, MCC, Special Event-Based Playlists, and Community Playtests. Halo 2 Classic SWAT will be the first rotational playlist coming online a week or so after the MCC update hits the game. And then we're on to the scoop. And I started reading through this, trying to pull out tidbits, and it might just be easiest for us to read through this. So you want to take the first section there, GT? The dev tools?
Not sure. Looks like, let's see, dev tools. I finally got annoyed enough that a lot of our debug tools and console outputs were not working correctly that I fixed them. Huh. Interesting concept. Fix what's broken.
Right.
Namely, they weren't scaling for 4K. Either made them too hard to read or they would overlap. The Q&A team also wanted a single debug claw for each game debug menu, the combo used to open the menu.
So the button combination that you use to open debug, oh, wait, okay. They wanted it the same across all the games.
Well, geez, that would be silly.
Well, every game you have a different debug method. I know Halo 4 has a different one than Halo 3, than Halo 2. And
Why wouldn't you have the same button combo to open the debug menu, though?
I think because the actions on the different buttons have changed between the different games. And when Bungie was doing it, I think what they had was...
Well, I guess it all depends on what the button combination is.
Right. And I think the button combination was the same as far as like some of the actions and also making sure it didn't conflict or cause any glitches. But it's still, yeah, I think for Halo 4, it was a four or five button combination that included like pulling the trigger or a bumper and the A button or something on the D-pad, something like that.
Yeah. Another dev-only quality of life improvement, let's see, they've been working on was making each game's various logs all go to their own folder instead of all going into the same place. That, you know, that way you're clear on which one you're actually working on. Oh, geez, that's silly.
I know. So, dev tools, they work better?
Yay!
Here you go. For Halo 3, there's some Halo 3 fixes that they're working on that kind of all tie together indirectly. Many know that the forgeable cardboard boxes on the map Orbital aren't really forgeable right now. Somehow, someone modified the asset for this object and deleted its properties, which the forge system requires in order for you to be able to interact with it. That's why they drop out of your hands as soon as you place them. Well, that's silly. Then on the map Sandbox, the golf club doesn't actually have a HUD or backpack icon. I remember this because it's just completely black. It's almost like the background's there, but the icon isn't.
Yeah.
Or something like that. And then when it's in the backpack, it doesn't even exist. Turns out those assets were deleted. This prompted me to perform a folder comparison with MCC's Halo 3 assets and those that shipped with the blue disc, or the original retail disc. Then I realized that there was another thing missing on the map. There was another missing file. The map Cold Storage is supposed to have flood infection forms running around the outside of the map, except the creature asset is missing. So you say, just add all these missing files, ship it, hashtag fix MCC, the fight's finished. Well, not so fast. It's not that simple. Nothing about MCC is ever simple. We've known that from day one. The Arbiter should really be on our spokes, or person, so to speak. The problem with adding or removing assets to Halo 3 is that you run a very high risk of breaking map variants. Since the 360 days and up until fixes go live, Halo 3 map variants embedded content IDs for the things which are placed in them. Content IDs are dependent on the order in which content is linearly added to a map file. Modders know these as tag indices. To ship MCC originally, a hard-coded table was made to map a 360 content ID to the content ID which is assigned to an MCC. That lets you ship, but that doesn't solve the problem. If you add or remove these content IDs shifts, or if you add or remove content, these IDs shifts. Here I'm trying to add back content to make Halo 3 be Halo 3 again, so we have to be more indirect. Basically, if they were to add these content things back in, it would break all the work that they did to actually get the content to work with MCC, and then they would have to remap everything. So you got to be careful with that.
Yeah. I think I can live without a HUD on the golf club.
There's still things to fix, so they'll probably have to go through and either think of a new way around it, or they might just have to do the work. Thankfully, it's more or less straightforward to build this kind of indirection. The content which you can place in the Halo 3 map variant can be derived from about 10 or so palettes in the level data. These palettes are fixed, and the order of their elements are also fixed. Well, so long as no one does something like open the level data and go and remove entries or insert new ones. Adding new entries could be done if we wanted to expand the Forge palettes.
Ooh.
Hmm.
Not like they're going to add new stuff, but basically saying they could add new stuff if they wanted to. But let's not, and say we did this for the next release, which is about fixing MCC. So all that we need to do is now map either an old 360 content ID or an old MCC content ID to a ID that is the combination of a palette type and an index within that palette. Simple to say, but not as simple to do. We need a hard-coded table for all this, since we cannot rely on the map data being loaded. Plus, while working on these fixes, I also spent time adding additional sanity checks to the map build process to ensure all forgeable content actually has the properties defined in order to be truly forgeable and not behave like the cardboards on Space Camp or Orbital. So, Halo 3. Trying to fill in content that was missing.
Ooh.
Sounds painful.
They're walking that fine line again.
Yep. Okay. How about Halo 2?
Let's see here. I fixed some extra flavor stuff in Halo 2's tutorial level. What kind of stuff? Play and maybe you'll see. So I wonder what they really did.
I don't know. I saw that. I'm like, where do I even look?
Yeah. Halo 2 players should also find their FOVs to be a little more tolerable, especially in split screen. Oh, and player names will now be shown in the death cam instead of just service tag. Oh, that's nice. Halo 1 also received some touch-ups for player names. Shenanigans. Oh, and I think there was one or two Halo 2 players that wanted to be able to melee cancel. Which still applies to physics impulse, but not the damage.
Yeah, so melee cancel in Halo 2 is when you like melee, but you do the reload, and then it's how they do like the ladder step. You've probably seen the videos.
It says they may be pleasantly surprised.
That's nice.
I know the sword glitch is back.
It is?
Yeah, where you can zoom in with a sniper rifle and across the map.
I've never actually done that before. I might have to go and try that. It's split second timing, right?
I've done it a couple of times, but the last time I did it, I was playing Halo 2. And then, you know, of course, there's sword canceling.
Did you see, like, other people doing it, streaming MCC Insider?
No, somebody posted a video on Twitter.
Oh, okay. I might have to try that. You want to take the next section there, since it's a one-liner?
Oh. Control group. Some players should find them, should find a few new, a few control schemes in Halo 3 and Halo 2 A, behave as expected, or focus.
Diagrammed. So how it actually shows up on the screen, how the controllers are mapped, it actually is that way now.
What a unique concept. Have the picture on the screen match the action on the controller.
Right.
That's an interesting concept.
You think that would be like a no-brainer, right?
Yeah.
Wrong! Next section is lock and load. I spent a bit of time addressing Halo 1 and Halo 2 loading issues, namely around co-op situations. For example, an Xbox One loads much faster than a regular Xbox, so in Halo 1 it would start cinematics before the client finished loading, causing the client to miss the start of cinematics once they did finish. What? It would start the cinematics before the client finished loading.
The Xbox One X would start the scene before the Xbox had actually loaded it.
Oh.
Lol. It would cut off the scene.
That's funny. It's just one of those things. It's like, oh, we got more power. Oh, wait. This game wasn't built for so much power.
Well, I mean, you know, that's something that, you know, when they originally built MCC, wasn't a problem because everybody was playing on identical hardware. You know, that's something that the Xbox X has introduced into the game because now you have people playing on X's and some people playing on regular Xboxes. The Xbox X, Xbox X can process the information much faster than a standard Xbox. So I can see where that could be an issue.
Stuff to fix. It also came to light that in Halo 1 co-op, if a host or a client timed out waiting on one another, they would try to return the main menu but end up crashing. It wasn't just the right time to try to shut down the Halo 1 engine. Fixing that was not straightforward and was caught kind of late. Another Halo 2 co-op loading issue related to entering the next level while in remastered mode. Since the Xbox One X loads faster, they would generally finish loading and be looking at an arbitrary location in the level. The fix for this ended up being a rather straightforward one. Just force the engine into classic mode. This way the network transition screen properly renders, i.e. the connecting to session pop-up instead of a random geometry. Or just create a connecting to session screen that works for anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
A late breaking update. As this blog was going to print, Sean followed up with some more updates on the noted issue above. Remember that Halo 1 co-op loading bug I mentioned earlier that I said I fixed? Well, not so much. The Centurion Bond Brother, or wrong franchise. Turns out part of the fix introduced a very serious bug, but it didn't cause Halo 1 to crash. Whilst not crashing, say that five times fast, is an improvement, there's no way we could leave the bad fix in the build, no matter how many laughs the bad fix behavior got amongst the team. See the video down below. And it's a pretty interesting one. Like, there's just geometry everywhere. You actually... you have Master Chief with a tree and a bush.
Chief is a tree hugger now.
I was listening to...
Chief has trees coming out of his butt.
Yeah. And all the enemies have bushes and other things on them, too. I was listening to Tasman on the... Oh, a Marine has one of the beacon lights. For his last week's show, or maybe this week's show. And he was saying it's like Fortnite, where you have the bushes cover.
Too bad it doesn't work that way.
No. Oh, and then you have the Chief on the Maw. He's actually exploding.
Yeah, the explosions that go off in the Warthog run, that you're supposed to avoid. Yeah, the Warthog, those explosions are showing up on the Warthog.
Yeah.
And traveling with the Warthog.
So Chief is a tree, Chief is a bush. Marines have little beacons on them. It's very interesting.
Yeah.
That's a weird bug. That's a really weird bug.
Yeah, there's some you know, half the bugs that they show are so hilarious. I would love to see, you know, like an entire bug reel.
Yeah.
Of things they've come across and just the, you know, the stupid havoc that it causes.
Yep. Okay. So finishing up this section, we have at the 11th hour Monday, we had to strip out the bad chains, do some more deep scrubbing of the code, and figure out a fix that worked for both Xbox One and the X's, whether this was the host or the client. Timing issues and debug only edge cases caused this to be immensely troublesome to fix before I ran out of time to make the build submission. While I may have lost a bit more of my sanity, you all gained what should be a that much more stable Halo 1 co-op experience. A new bug video.
Yay. Which I highly recommend you go watch.
Yes.
If you haven't watched it.
And then they have a little thing down there about the post-game comments report focusing on your entry, having a little highlight selector. For the split screeners, it'll focus on the first player on the local console. So that's it. The latest on MCC. Lots of stuff. The MCC build is still live, so whenever they get around to phase 2 of Flight 3, all the MCC insiders will get your emails, and you'll be able to download the build and start to join the crazy fun.
I'm looking forward to it.
Good. It's been a lot of fun. I'm kind of sad I had to miss the play sessions for this latest one. I was coming back from my honeymoon, so I was having a more...
Well, as excuses go, that's a pretty good one.
It is. Downside was kind of sick the last few days, but got to see parts of Europe that were amazing to see. Not too bad. Definitely kind of disappointing, but hey, I was off doing better things. A lot more cool things. All right, let's move on to our next news item, which we've got some HGS New Orleans updates. We got three different updates from when we last recorded. Two of which were in regards to some of the maps and game modes pertaining to the upcoming tournament. They are changing a couple of things with Oddball and CTF Refuge. So they had an initial article out by Tashi on the 2nd of July with lots of pretty graphs and statistics about game times and issues with gameplay. So they've actually reduced the points for Oddball from 200 to 150. One of the things they found is a lot of Oddball games were going to time instead of score, which is not preferred. So they dropped that down to hopefully make it to where a lot of the games hit the average time played, which is apparently around 7.5 minutes. And that should hopefully help. And then for CTF Refuge, they're increasing the reset time from 12 seconds to 15 seconds. They're actually starting to see an issue on CTF Refuge, which made it very similar to CTF on Fathom, which a lot of the competitive people that follow HCS were not too happy with, because it ended up in a lot of ties and replays and long matches, and that's something that they definitely do not want for this. So the Team Arena playlist has been updated with these changes. There are also the changes that are going to be going into the MLG New Orleans this coming weekend, which is also going to have Gears of War there as well. And again, that's taking place starting tomorrow, actually, at 2 p.m. Central Time, which is 3 p.m. Eastern and noon Pacific. We've got 2 to 8 on Friday and Saturday, and then on Sunday, it is from 11 to 7:30, or however long it's going to take to actually play all the games. This is for $250,000 worth in prize money. And this is the biggest prize pool that a Halo tournament has seen for an open LAN. That means anyone who has registered their team has a chance at part of this $250,000. I believe the first place team is getting $100,000, which is a pretty substantial amount. The main streams are going to be over on Mixer, Twitch, MLG, Twitter, and YouTube, with the backup streams over on Mixer and I believe MLG. And there have been a bunch of roster changes. Since we are kind of running late, I'm going to leave the roster changes up to the Bad at Halo show and the HCS Pro Talk folks. So go check out their podcast and you can get all the roster mania and crazy roster changes that have been happening. A couple of the important ones to note, though, Tox and Splice have managed to stay together. Those are the only two teams that have not changed rosters. So they're the only two teams that actually kind of get grandfathered into the bracket or the group play for New Orleans. And then we have a lot of other teams: Renegades, Elevate, Straight Rippin, Hitmen, Lux, Lucid, Fable Esports, Athletico, and Berserker Esports. So those are the top rosters to pay attention to this coming weekend. I do know there's going to be a few people there. I think Tasman might be there this weekend. Ward is also going to be there. I don't know if one of the HCS Pro Talk guys is going to be there, but I believe Taz is going to be there this weekend. So we'll have to follow up with him and see how it goes. It's been a long time since I've seen a Gears MLG. I do remember a couple times in Dallas where Gears was just kind of having its own esports being developed. So it'll be interesting to see Gears and Halo back in the same studio for a change.
Yeah.
So that's going to cover it for the HCS info. We've also got the latest community update, which covers a lot of stuff that we already hit on. This is the one from last week. They go over the Halo TV show announcement, the MCC Insider Flight number 3, the HCS upcoming tournament for this weekend. Last weekend was another Microsoft Store Halo tournament, and that was for FFA. The next one is going to be, I forget, is it at the beginning of August or is it during the PAX weekend? I'm looking. It's going to be August 12th, and it is a 2v2. So that's the next Microsoft Store tournament. The Halo Wars 2 community tournament was this past weekend, 2 weekends ago, actually, sorry. And the player that won was Mike Beaston, that's his gamer tag, and he actually reverse swept in the second of 7 games Almirante, which was pretty impressive. I actually watched through an hour of the second series, and it is kind of impressive how they move their units. So a couple of things that I picked up just by watching it. I don't know if you have had a chance to watch this at all, GT, but it's almost like they have a main group of units that they have together with a couple of power units in it. It's a lot of infantry supported by a few ground vehicles with maybe one or two air vehicles, depending on the situation. And then they have only one or two other units to go get like the power nodes or the resources. But for the most part, they have one blob of units going around and doing damage.
Yeah.
It's definitely an interesting watch. A lot of the, I guess in the competitive scene, and this might be indicative of a lot of typical RTS stuff, but every game ended in a resignation. I guess there's a point to where someone knows that they can't come back anymore and they just resign the game. And that's how games lasted, I think, probably about 7 minutes, and then they were done for a best of 7.
Well, I guess, you know, you get to a point, you know, you're beat. So
the one thing that you don't quite get with the way they broadcasted this, and it kind of makes sense because they're not actually there with the people playing. But the Breaking the Clutch guys are spectating, so they have their own camera view. It would be interesting to see what the players are doing, like where they're... And you, I think you can see their view changing on the minimap, but the quality on the stream was so low that you couldn't see it all the time. But it would be interesting to see where their camera's moving, what they're, what actions they're doing, like their POV. So I'm going to finish the series, and it's kind of inspired me to try, at least try some multiplayer for Halo Wars 2. I know it won't be very good, but it'd be something to at least see how I stack up to other people. Probably not well, but hey, it's worth a try. They had a balance change awarded to the winner, or the winner could suggest a balance change. So one of the things that they're doing is adding the siphon back into the Warlord unit. So for everyone that plays Halo Wars 2, sorry, I haven't kept up with it, but that was the one balance change that was recommended by Mike and that they're looking into implementing and should be coming out in the next balance update. They do have a Q&A with the organizers of the Halo Wars Championship League. Again, this was put on jointly by The Banished, Breaking the Clutch, and Team Respawn. And apparently a couple of the 343 folks also spectated some of the streams and did some commentary on it too.
Oh, that's cool.
Postums and someone else. I don't know if it was Grim or someone, but I forget where I saw that. I might have heard it somewhere. Oh, it might have been in their recap video. But yeah, some of the 343 folks were really supporting this effort. So that was a good thing to see. Season 2 will be around the corner probably very soon. So we'll have to try to get some of those folks on. Taz had Breaking the Clutch on his show 2 weeks ago, so I definitely recommend checking out that episode. And we'll try to get all these guys on at some point here in the future. Maybe when season 2 starts to kick off, we can look at getting them on.
Look forward to it.
And we've got some radar blips. Right now, Halo 2 BR Slayer and the latest edition Community Slayer is the featured rotational map or playlists for matchmaking. The Community Slayer is 8 community maps, 2 of which are actually the 2 maps that were chosen as the Forge maps for HCS. And some of the other ones were ones that were being considered but didn't make the cut. So Fissure and Echelon are the 2 maps, the 2 Forge maps that were selected for HCS. These are in the Community Slayer. There's also Analog and Russet that were also being considered for the HCS forges but were not included. And then there's 4 other ones in here as well that are in there only for Slayer. This is Community Slayers is the playlist. So those have been added. The Core Play playlist has been added to Team Social or to the social set of playlists. And I played with some of the 405th folks last night in that playlist. It's sweaty. It's really sweaty. We went in with, I think there was one time we went, maybe not. I don't know if we ever went in with a full team of 4. We just couldn't get it figured out. But we regularly got matched up with people that probably played Team Arena on the ranked side of things. And it almost felt like they were using the Core Play as an excuse to get some easy wins.
It's not uncommon.
Not uncommon, no, but still kind of a disappointment.
Well, you know, that's where, you know, even in the social playlist, they do need some skill-based matchmaking.
Apparently it's there. That's the underlying matchmaking stuff that they have. Maybe it's just low population when we were searching or something, but it was not good. There was one game I had, I went 9-31. It was bad. It was really bad.
Yeah, it can make you feel pretty terrible.
Yeah. Yeah, Destiny Halo Echelon is pretty cool. I actually got to play it with Unishek and actually made some feedback to it. I don't know if my feedback made it into the map, but I had some input, and Unishek was happy to take it. We also have issue number 2 of Collateral Damage was released a couple weeks ago, and the Memories of Reach Rec Pack is available now for a limited time. We've got Halo Fireteam Raven has been out in the wild, starting over in the West Coast. I went by a Dave & Buster's this past weekend. It's not there yet, unfortunately. So I haven't had a chance to play.
Halo Cannon has.
He has. Kevin Hurd has. The 405th has. It's making its way out from the West Coast. It's just, it'll be the last ones over here. I don't even know if they're going out to every Dave & Buster's. I'm guessing they are, but it's hard to say.
Nah, I might have to call my local one and see if they have it yet. Or if they have an estimated time of arrival.
Yeah.
Which I doubt they do.
One of the nice things about Fireteam Raven, and I believe Halo just put out a tweet on this a couple of days ago, is there's a QR code on the console, I guess. And if you scan that while logged into Halo Waypoint, you can actually track your progress and basically career stats through Waypoint. So it's definitely worth keeping up on that. For the community spotlight, we've got Pixel Flare, or I forget what his gear tag is, Wang Time. He's been hard at work doing some of his own personal work and doing some work for some others, and he's come up with a few looping backgrounds that you can actually get through. There's a like animated wallpaper app through Steam that you can get, and he's been posting a few of these things that he's been making through Source Filmmaker. And this is the same guy that did the one picture for Postums that got spread around like crazy. And we're actually going to be commissioning some work from him. He gave me an initial quote on a couple things, and Patacular's going to get snazzy here pretty soon.
Snazzy.
Next thing up on the list is, I thought this was funny. So it's a little, what do you call these things? I guess comic strip is the closest thing to call this. Four squares, and it's best if you go to the update to see this, but it's four squares. First is a grunt saying, "Sir, permission to leave the station." And then it's a prophet saying, "For what purpose? Yip, yip." And then it is from the Halo 5 main menu. If you remember the grunt that falls through the open space, it says to give the UNSC back their bomb. They clipped it in such a way where it makes it look like the grunt's actually flying towards the infinity.
That's actually a pretty good use of that scene. I thought it was funny.
It is. It's not something that I would have thought of, and it just takes a perfect time. It's like, oh, I wonder if you did this, and there you go. Someone got a Halo 5 Achilles tattoo.
Why?
I don't know. It doesn't even look quite like a Halo helmet. It almost looks like a medieval helmet and a Halo helmet combined. It looks really nice, yeah. But to your point, why?
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I've thought about getting tattoos before, but as much as I like Halo, if I got a Halo tattoo, it'd probably be Master Chief's helmet.
I'm not even sure what I would do. Maybe if I were to get one, maybe the legendary shield from
that, possibly, yeah.
So that'd be maybe that for me. There's a couple of videos. One is a rip spin duel between Chief and Locke. So they basically just took some rip spin characters and customized them for, I guess, put little stickers over the heads for the rip spin characters. So that's kind of interesting. I haven't seen those in a long time, those kind of rip spin things.
Yeah, they've fallen out of vogue.
Yeah. There is a forge of a grill with hamburger patties and Blue Angels flying over as well. They have the Pelicans animated, so that's supposed to be like the Blue Angels flying over.
They did color them like the Blue Angels.
They did.
I thought it was actually pretty cool. It's still amazing what they can do with scripting.
4 just crazy. Really crazy. And then we're on to the Halo Hotshots. A couple of my favorites is some people took to remake some of the Halo Infinite shots in Halo 5 Forge, which they did a pretty good job. Someone did some Halo 3 screenshots, and then the last one on there, grunts throwing plasma nades plus boom and Sputnik skulls can take you to very unexpected and beautiful places.
That is true.
This guy got to some random place in the Halo 2 Anniversary and has a really pretty view. And that is it for last week's community update. And now I'm going to check to see if Grim posted another one. Hopefully he didn't. Nope, he hasn't. So that catches us up on all of the news off of Halo Waypoint. A couple of other things to note before we start to wrap this one up. The Halo 2 Anniversary Forge Tacular winners have been announced. Forge Hub picked the top 10, and then it was up to 343 to pick the final three. And these are likely going to be going into a matchmaking playlist for MCC. I don't know if it's in there yet. It probably will be down there sometime in the future. But we have Epic, which was done by Xandrith and Achuk. Very arena style. A lot of these were very much arena style, using very, I guess, blocky geometry. If that's a word.
Well, I mean, they're made in the Halo 2 style. You know, most of the Halo 2 maps are, you know, they're very square, very blocky. You know, they're not, you know, short of midship. You know, they're not very rounded, so they fit in.
Thinking like a Foundry or Headlong, that kind of stuff. So Epic was number 3, internally known as Madness. Number 2 was Heatstroke, internally known as Baby Gulch. So this one has kind of a central bridge connecting two outer bases and then a middle base, and then there's a lot of places for vehicles to run around as well. And the final one was Select by Secret Snitchel and Knockyard. This is one that was actually made for Halo 4, or like the original map. It was based off a map that was made for Halo 4 and used for Ricochet. So I actually remember playing on the Halo 4 version of this map quite a few times. So the results are over on Forge Hub right now, and there's a couple of tweets from 343 that have retweeted out the Forge Hub tweets. So just head on over to ForgeHub.com. It is the first article there right now. And these will likely be in matchmaking at some point. There was a new update to the Halo universe. Talitza and the Vital Vevna 3, I guess, planets or whatever, star system. There's a whole bunch of information up there. Just the latest entry in the Halo universe stuff that Grim has added for those that are interested. And we also have some new Xbox merch. So some of the product folks that work for 343 also are working on the Xbox merch. And one of the things that was shown off during SDCC, or will be shown off at SDCC? Has SDCC happened yet?
I don't know.
That I think is supposed to be the debut at SDCC. I don't think it's happened yet. Is a Halo t-shirt, and it has a Needler on it. So it is pretty simple. It's almost just like a outline drawing of a Needler, and it has Halo simply on it. It's being debuted at San Diego Comic-Con, but it's not going to be exclusive to it. So it'll eventually hit the Xbox official gear store shortly after San Diego, probably. So James Monosmith has been one of the folks that has been working with some of the Xbox merch. And he's worked on Xbox or Halo merch for several years now at this point. So I'd say he has a pretty good taste in that. I think that covers everything pretty quickly. We have the latest Halo loot crate. Is the theme is called Leadership, focused around Reach and Carter being the next exclusive figure. You have until April 5th at midnight to order the crate. And if you go to podtackler.com/lootcrate and use the code podtackler at checkout, you will get $3 off of your crate. I believe that's all she wrote for this one. I know there's probably some other community news that we missed, but we're just getting back into the swing of things. So hopefully we'll pick up the slack next week and actually fix the live stream next week that hopefully I won't break again.
By deleting stuff?
Yeah. I'm still an OBS noob a little bit. But hey, at least we figured it out. Unfortunately, the hard way. Got anything else to add, GT, before we shut down for the evening?
Just be sure to tune in right here on Mix and Twitcher on Twitch for Podtacular's Frag and Friday. We start at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. If you want to join in the fun, just send me a message on Xbox Live at Godzilla T, and we'll see you tomorrow night.
I will not be there. I am going to the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra for the next showing of Harry Potter.
Fun.
Unfortunately, I will not be there tomorrow, but I will be back streaming on Sunday nights for achievements, debating whether or not to stick with MCC or dive into either Halo Wars or Halo Wars 2. So I'll probably put out a poll. So if you guys want to see any particular achievement hunting, then let me know. Also, I talked with the wife this week. I know we've mentioned it here before a little bit, but on Tuesdays, we're going to be streaming her playthrough of the Halo campaign, starting with the very first game, Halo CE. She has a basic understanding of using the controller, so she can at least move around, fire the weapon and everything. She still has a little bit of a learning curve, but we've played enough to where I think it will be interesting just seeing a person kind of go through Halo for the first time and kind of picking up a first-person shooter for about the first time. Would really appreciate the support for that, which will be on Tuesdays. Probably, we'll probably be doing that around 7 p.m. Eastern time, which will be 4 p.m. Pacific. We would really appreciate the support. We'll be streaming that on Mixer and Twitch. And that'll begin next Tuesday. So you'll have streams on Thursday nights at 9 for our normal podcast, Friday at 8:30 for the Fragging Fridays, Sundays at 10 for the achievements, and then Tuesdays with me and the wife going through Halo on MCC. We're actually coming up with a regular stream schedule for a change.
Jeez.
It's like we're finally kind of getting professional at this.
It's like we're professionals or something.
Almost, yeah. Just about. Check us out on our social media platforms. You can find us podcast-wise on Windows Podcasts, whatever that is, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, iTunes, and RSS feed. You can find us on social media at Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitch, Mixer. We also have our Spartan Club and our Xbox Club and our Spartan Company that you can check out as well. You can also check out the Podcast Network. We're part of a network of gaming and specific shows at thepodcast.com, which includes shows like Guardian Radio, Crit's Cast, Podcast 76. I don't know if the Learning Cliff's there anymore. I have to still check up on that. Work in Progress and How to Murder Time. Again, you can find out about all the shows ever at thepodcast.com. As for accommodations for the company, our closest one only has 87 left, and that is quickly kill 3 or more Spartans. The next one right after that is either Hijack or a Skyjack, and that one has another 57. So our next two are actually very close to being done. Few games this weekend, we might be able to get both of those done within the next week or two. That will wrap it up for our show tonight. Thanks everyone for tuning in to the live streams, for you that did, and for downloading the show. Please go and review us on iTunes. We would really appreciate the support. Helps keep the podcast relevant on searches for Halo Podcasts. And we would like to hear your feedback as well. Until then, hope you enjoy the activities going on at MLG New Orleans this weekend. Please tune in to the live streams. I'll be on trying to catch them whenever I can. And we will catch you all out on one of our other live streams this week, or we'll catch you next week for the podcast. Thanks, everybody. Keep on fragging them trucks.